Learning Nefesh HaChaim, Shaar Beis, Chapter 14. What we spoke about in the last class was that a person should be uttering his words to the heavens. In other words, the advice that he gives us, and it's from the Beis Yosef, is that we should express the word, and obviously, right, if you know what the word means, that's good. But you should say the word and give your word to Hashem. And you shouldn't be thinking all sorts of intentions that lies behind the words, because we can't really know all the intentions behind the words. But there are many, many hidden reasons for each word, why each word was composed in the prayer as it was. Many of them Kabbalistic secrets that we could never fathom. And also we said that the idea that each time we recite the word, it has a different power, it has a different energy, depending on the time, depending on the person. So therefore, the focus should be on saying the words and giving the words to Hashem. And also we mentioned the idea that one should ideally see the words. If you can see the words as you're saying them, that empowers it even more. If you can just see the letters of the words, as if you see the word floating in front of you in your face, you see the word, so you see that word and you give that word to Hashem. Then we started chapter 14, Perek Yud Dalet, and we mentioned that we went back to our original question at the beginning of Shaar Beis. And that question was, right, what does it mean when it says in the Torah that we have to serve Hashem? It means pray to Hashem with all our lives. Chol nafshechem. How do you pray to Hashem with your life? What does that mean? So the first thing he told us is that the word nefesh is also used for prayer. Right? That therefore, if we have to serve Hashem with all our prayer, if nefesh, the word nefesh means prayer, so then avadatim is Hashem lokechem, you serve Him. Lav is Hashem kan la'avdoi. To serve Hashem with all your prayer is give your prayer to Hashem. So if the word nefesh means prayer, so then that would fit. To give our entire, we'll still see more of what that actually means. And he brings examples at the top here, in the second paragraph of chapter 14, brings examples that we see that prayer is called nefesh. Like we mentioned with Chana, Eshpoches nafshi lifnei Hashem, I poured my soul before Hashem. Means she poured her prayer before Hashem. David HaMelech also, Bochi nafshi es Hashem, may my nefesh bless Hashem. May my prayer, with my prayer, let me bless Hashem. So another proof from this is what he quotes here, Gemara in Brochus. Rezal b'per kama de Brochus. Our sages said in the first chapter of Brochus, Omru, Shnaim shenichnasu lispalel. Two people went to Davin. The kodem echod mehem lispalel. There were only two people in there, whatever it was, in the shul. The shuls in the old days used to be out in the fields. Because the people lived on farms, farming areas, and therefore their houses were all distant from each other. And therefore they would build the shul out in the fields, which was like a convenient place for many people. But often the shuls were just buildings out in the fields. And to leave a person alone in shul would be something that would be scary to the person. And at night you'd have sometimes wild animals, you'd have wolves, whatever. Or maybe there's not good lighting, there'd be holes in the road. But the halacha comes down as follows, that someone who abandons his friend, again, to the who went into daven, the kodem echod mehem lispal, one of them finished davening before the other. V'lo himtin es chaver, and he didn't wait for his friend to accompany him. He just left. The yotza, and he left. Toifim lo tfilosa befonov. So the Gemara says they rip up his prayer. The guy who left, they rip up his prayer for abandoning his friend. And we imagine, we understand that the one who's still davening notices his friend's left, and that he gets nervous. He can't daven properly. He's distracted by the fact that he's alone now in the shul. So therefore, in heavens, they rip up the first guy's prayer, and the source is a pasuk that says, "Tiref nafshei be'apoy." He tears his nefesh in his anger. He tears his nefesh in his anger, so that would refer to Hashem, who tears the person's nefesh in his anger, his anger at the way this person behaved. Pirush Rashi, and Rashi explains, Lecho oimer, to you I'm saying, you, the guy who left, to you I'm speaking, Asher geramte lecho, that you've caused to yourself, Litroifes nafshecho, befanecha, you have caused that your nefesh is torn up. Now that sounds like your soul will be torn up, but that's not what it means. Umahi ya nefesh, says Rashi, and what does it mean, nefesh? That your soul is torn up. What does it mean, nefesh? Your nefesh is torn up. Zutfila, your prayer has been torn up. Mm. As the heavens are now rejecting your prayer, since you acted in such a way, we're throwing out your prayer. Zutfila. Kumoshinema eshpoch es nafshi, and it brings that verse from Chana. So we see here another proof from that. The word nefesh means prayer. So if we have to serve Hashem with all our nefesh, means with our prayer. Va'inyan, the idea of calling your nefesh, your prayer, or calling your prayer your nefesh, avoidus atfilhi b'mokom avoidus akorban, because the service of prayer is, it takes the place of the service of bringing sacrifices. V'kumosha inyan akorban haya, and just like the idea of bringing sacrifice was la'luis nefesh b'heima l'mala, you wanted to elevate the soul, the life force of the animal upwards. As you bring an animal, you sacrifice it in the temple, you throw its blood on the altar, and then you burn its flesh on the altar. And that's the soul of the animal. The life force of the animal is given to the heavens. Right? You give the life force then. L'chein ika kapora hayatolu b'zrikas adam hu hanefesh. And the main atonement, we know, is the throwing of the blood, which is the nefesh, because we say hadam hu hanefesh, the blood of the blood of a person is his nefesh, is his life force. And the way it's explained is that the blood is the physical manifestation of the nefesh, because the nefesh really is something non-tangible, non-physical. But the physical manifestation of the nefesh is blood. And as the blood, so to speak, is the garment of the life force. So therefore, essentially, the korban is, you fulfill your obligation of the korban by throwing the blood. And therefore, for instance, let's say you never got to offer the meat. It doesn't matter. Let's say, for instance, the meat became contaminated somehow. It was touched by, someone touched it who shouldn't have touched it, and they had to throw out the meat. Doesn't matter, because since you threw the blood on the altar, the person who brought the sacrifice has fulfilled his obligation. That's the halacha. So therefore, the ikkar is the throwing of the blood, which is the nefesh. You throw the life of the animal onto the altar. You throw it onto Hashem. V'kein aktoris haimurim, and also the burning of the fats. Ikorim haya lekavonis halos hanefesh. There, where you burnt the fats on the altar, the intention was to also to elevate the soul of the animal. And why would a person want to sacrifice the soul of an animal? So part of the, I think the Ramban expands on Chumash, because you have to see that as your soul. Since when we sin, we forfeit life. If we don't fulfill Hashem's duty, what Hashem commands us to do, so then why should He give us life? He gave us life to do His mitzvahs. We're not using our lives the right way, so we forfeit our lives. So in turn, we bring in a life for a life. We bring the animal's life for our life. And we hope that that will atone Hashem. And in the meantime, we do tshuva, and we will, from now on, we'll behave ourselves correctly. And from now on, we'll start living our lives the way we should be living our lives. That's the ideal. But in the meantime, since I've become chayev misa, I've become liable a death penalty for acting wrongly, so I'm giving a life for a life. And just by the way, the animal that you brought cost you money. And money is something that you worked for. Sometimes a person has to work many, many hours or many days and weeks before he can afford to buy a cow or a goat or a sheep. So therefore, it's his time, it's his life that he's given to Hashem. Right? The sacrifice of your resources is also a sacrifice of yourself, because it's those hours that you've invested into earning that money that you're bringing in the form of an animal as a sacrifice. So that's the idea of bringing an animal as a sacrifice. Now, kein ikke inyan hatfilu. So this is also the idea behind prayer. L'halus limsu l'dabek nafshu l'malu. To elevate and to hand over and give, stick our soul in the heavens. Put our soul, send our soul up to the heavens. Ki koyach hadibu shel odom, because the power of speech of a person, nikra nefesh. That's also called nefesh. So far we said that, well, we know that the soul is called nefesh. We say that prayer is called nefesh. And the idea of nefesh is to send it up like you send up the soul of an animal. And now we're saying that speech is called nefesh. And he brings a proof for that as well. Speech, the power of speech, is called nefesh. Kamosha kosov, as it says in Bereishis, v'yi odom lenefesh chaya. When Hashem created man, it says that man was a living soul, a living nefesh. And the Unculus, the Tirgam Unculus, the Unculus says, what does it mean that man was a living soul, a living nefesh? The Unculus says, L'ruach memalalo, to a speaking spirit, a speaking life force. It's a life force that can speak. V'chein yir la'ayin, and that's what we see also with our eyes. She'bechol dibush o'odom moitzi mipiv, that with every word that a person says, when a person speaks, so you say words, they come out of your mouth, yoitzi mipiv ruach v'hevel alev. What's coming out is the spirit, it's the air, and the heat from the body, from the heart, from the body. that's coming out. It's your energy. You express it. Your energy comes out with your speech. It's your the power of yourself that comes out. Madibu ikka nefesh ha'odam. And it's speech that is the ikka soul of a person. So soul, nefesh, the word nefesh also means dibu. Shezeh yisr na'odam in abeim, because that's the advantage a man has over an animal. What makes man more than an animal? The power of speech. That's really how we're different. No other physical being speaks like man speaks. Imkain kol teva hayoytes mi pi odom. Therefore, every word that comes out of the man of a person, the mouth of a person, he koev a chelik benafsh, is a part of the soul. So he's giving his soul, just like we said that when he brought the soul of an animal as a sacrifice. So here the person's giving his soul to Hashem with his speech. Because speech also is the soul power, so to speak. So it's the prayer, and it's the power of speech, and it's the life force. And all three are really the same, just different sides of the same concept. He's giving his life force, which is his speech, which is his soul, which is his prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Zois, and therefore, Be'ez Omde Lispale Lifnei Koinoi, at the time that a person stands to daven before his Creator, his Baruch Shemoi, blessed be his name, Yafshit Gufo Mi'al Nafshoi, he should separate his body from his nefesh. He should separate his body from his soul. Hainush Yasir, which means, what does it mean? How do you separate your soul from your body? It means as follows, a practical thing. Hainush Yasir Kol Rayoine HaVolim, that a person should remove all the ideas, the empty ideas, the ideas of HaVolim, of the business of this world. Right, all the thoughts that have to do with the body. Right, the body is, you know, what's for lunch and what's for supper, and then, you know, should I have 2 eggs for breakfast or 1 egg for breakfast, or, you know, what have I got to do? Where am I going? What am I spending my day doing? So all of the business of the body, right, which is the energy of the body. You have to remove yourself, all the interests of this physical world, building up the physical world, running to your business, running to work, painting your house, whatever it is. Person has to remove himself from the forces of the body, which have also become engraved and stuck to his soul, because he spends so much time on these things, so they also become part of his soul, because his soul is so involved with these things, that they occupy so much of his time, of his thoughts, etc. That the service of his prayer should be only with the nefesh, only with the soul and with the desire, the upper desire of the person. The upper desire of the person is to come close to Hashem. The upper desire of the person is to live beyond this world in the world to come, in the eternity, and to be close to Hashem. That's the real desire of a person. And this is before a person stands up to daven. He has to nullify and remove from his thoughts all of the pleasures of the body, all of its different enjoyments, the call in yon of all the matters concerning the physical body, the physical world, until his thoughts, so to speak, are almost like disgusted with the body. Right? The body is, well, you know, he's happy to leave his body, sort of thing, right? Like a person is taking a train trip. And he's there many hours. He's happy to get off the train. Baruch Hashem, the trip's over. He can get off. So therefore, so to speak, the body which he's been traveling in the entire day, he's happy to... this is a time to leave the body. This is a time, this is a quiet moment. The body should be still. And here he can, for the few minutes, he can leave the body to reject his body. As if he has no body at all. Right? When a person's focusing on his prayers, it should be, it's like almost his body ceases to exist. All his thoughts are towards Hashem, and it's like his body ceases to exist. It's only his soul that is speaking the words of prayer. And as he speaks each word, which is the force, and it's a part of the soul. His thoughts should cling, and his desire. Ru'usa means desire in Aramaic. So his desire should be cleaving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Liten. In order to give his soul and to pour out his soul literally, completely, and to cling his soul That Bika Beshoish Elyon, with his the upper root of his self, which is his soul, where the person comes from, his life force, which is from which is beyond him, which is above him, his life force, his soul. That Bika Beshoish Elyon shall tevis atfila, the words of the prayer. The words of the prayer which he's sending up. Now he speaks here about this, the upper root. We'll explain that in a minute. He's going to explain that in a minute. But Ladbika B'Shoyesh Elyon, to cling, the words of his prayer and the words that he utters should be clinging to his upper root, of which is the upper root, Shaltavis, of the words, what the intention of the words, the hidden intention of the words, Ha'imdim Merumah Shel Olam, which we know stand at the heights of the world. Like the words, as we said, are attached, have very, very powerful ideas behind the words, and that's what he's sending the words to their source, which is to their true intention. Even though he himself doesn't know the true intention, he's sending them to the source of the words. Like it writes in the Zohar in Parshas V'Yakel, V'oid de'bepume v'sivzose mirachshim, like when his mouth and his lips are muttering, or moving, or muttering, libe yichaven, he should intend his heart, he should direct his heart, ru'usa yistalek le'ela le'ela, and his rotzen, his desire, he should send a higher and higher, he should elevate, he should send his rotzen, his desire high and higher, li'achdo, his rotzen, right, le'rotzen, his desire, his true desire, he should send high and higher to upper worlds, li'achdo kula beraza derazin, to unite it all with a secret of secrets, the summon, which is over there, the secret of secrets, and as the source of all life, which is in the upper worlds. So to unite his desire with the upper worlds, tkin, which are rooted, which are stuck in the outer world, and kul rusin and makshavtin, and all of his desires and all of his thoughts, beraz the kaim of Ein Sof, the secret of the Ein Sof, of the Eternal One, which is the secret of creation, the true purpose of creation. Now this, all of his desires should be to fulfill the desire of creation. I'm in this world to do the will of Hashem, and I'm sending my desires, I'm dedicating myself, and I'm dedicating my desires to do the will of Hashem. Let's just see the Hebrew here. Uba'oid svosov, uba'oid shepiv svosov noise, when his mouth and his lips are moving or muttering, yechaven libo, he should intend his heart, uretzoinoi, yale lamalamani, his desire should, he's sending his desire higher and higher, liyached akul, to unite it all, the secret of secrets, the shaman, its koin, kola ritzun. That is the source of all desire. That's the ultimate desire. The ultimate desire is the desire of creation, is to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to be serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the desires and the thoughts, besoid and soif, the secret of the Eternal One. The Eternal One is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's actually an amazing, it's a very, very powerful thought. If you think to yourself, you know, often we have all sorts of things that bother us during the day. We see things that upset us, or things that we don't like, or people behave in a certain way, people annoy us in some way or other. You know, sometimes just seeing a certain person puts you in a bad mood. It can happen. So therefore, when we have these distracting, these unpleasant thoughts, and these lowly, they're actually lowly thoughts, the way to get out of it, the way to escape it, so to speak, is one should say, my true desire is to serve Hashem. If this person now is interfering with me, maybe it's a test, maybe it's a challenge. My true desire is to serve Hashem. So how do I get out of the situation? My true desire is to serve Hashem. That puts your focus in the right place. That's really what I want. I want to serve Hashem. Are there these distractions? Okay, I've got to ignore them. I've got to go beyond them. I've got to go over them. But that's the source thought. That's really the ideal thought that a person should be thinking. And that's what he should be giving his prayer to this higher purpose, the purpose of Hashem, serving Hashem. V'az, and then, if he has this thought, yichashek ilu musulak mizeh ha'olam, he will think of himself as if he's departed from this world, as if he's separated from this world. V'mibnei aliyah lemalo, and he's one of those who are the climbers. They're those who try to climb out of this world. They're those who try to elevate themselves above this world. Right? He's not just stuck in the business of this world, running around like hundreds and thousands and millions of people, but he's mibnei aliyah. He's of those who strive to elevate themselves. Achegam achat tefila, and that should be the experience of prayer. That even when he finishes davening, to the extent that when he finishes davening, it's going to be difficult for him. This is the ideal. That when he finishes his prayer, he gets to such a high place that when he leaves, he stops his prayers. Over his prayers over, it's going to be difficult to him to turn his thoughts back to matters of this world. It's almost like he goes up to this high place and he's almost reluctant to come back to the matters of this world. It'll be in his eyes as if he's falling, and he's trying to grasp. As you're falling, he's trying to hang on to something to stay up there, and he's falling. He's sort of with his hands, he's trying to grasp something as he falls from the heights, from the high roof to the low pit. That's an expression of Chazal, which describes two extremes, right? The heights of the roof and the depths of a pit. Like the Gemara also tells us that the early pious tzaddikim, they would spend an hour after their prayer as well. It says in the Gemara in Brochus that the tzaddikim rishonim used to spend 3 hours on every prayer, an hour in preparation, an hour davening, and an hour after the prayer. So what's the hour after the prayer? We understand an hour of preparation to try and get your thoughts in the right place. We understand an hour of prayer because they used to pray long. They used to put a lot of effort and energy into their prayer. But what's the hour after the prayer for? So that's the idea, because he's so much in that world that he's like reluctant to come down again. He's just almost like, he just doesn't want to leave it. I think we all experience that early in the morning, as you're reluctant to leave your bed, right? It's just, you know, you're sort of in a certain... No, there's a certain like dreaminess, you know, sort of half asleep, half awake, and it's like a sort of dreaminess that you're just sort of reluctant to leave that sort of state of mind. And even though you're not tired, but you just don't want to jump out of bed. So this is something higher. This is that the person gets to a state that he's reluctant to come back to the world, and that's the Chassidim Rishonim. It took them a full hour to come back down to this world. Musha Kasav Gam Arizal Hatam Azeh. Arizal writes the reason k'day la'shus oid ha'moichim. That moichin refers to thoughts, upper thoughts. Thoughts should dwell there a little bit longer. They should just enjoy that atmosphere a little bit longer. That basically is a sort of a taste of the world to come, because that is the spiritual realm. The thoughts also should delay there a little bit longer. Hu inyan ma'amorim zal. That's what the rabbis say. And Yevomus, amispalat zal shiita in liboy lemala. That one who davens should put his heart in the upper worlds, right? Your heart, you should send your heart up to the upper worlds. That's how we should be davening. And to such a degree should his love for Hashem be excited by his prayer. Right? This is the ideal. Again, he's speaking very, very high concepts. This is the ideal that we should be striving for, to the degree that he longs for and he pangs and he desires in truth. That now that he's speaking this holy word of prayer that he's just said, he said out this word, one of the words are from his siddur. He almost wants his soul to go up with the word. He's sending the word up, and he wants his soul, so to speak, to go up with the word. That it'll be elevating, it'll be going up. His soul itself will be going up and clinging, so to speak, with Hashem. That's now what we understand in Shema. In the pasuk in Shema, that's what says. Avdei, we should be serving Hashem, which is prayer. Bechol nafshechem, with your entire soul, with your entire soul. V'chein ma she'amra Chana, that's what Chana also said in her. Eshbach es nafshi lifnei, I pour my heart. Pour my soul before Hashem, the whom of one. It now makes sense. So we said before that nefesh means the soul, means the life force. Nefesh means the prayer, and nefesh, we said, means the speech, the word that you say. All of these three things mean are nefesh. The kain yesh lefarish ma'amim chazal. And also, we can now understand the Gemara in Tainis. It says as follows: Ein tfilos shel adam nishmas, that the prayer of a person is only heard. The prayer of a person is not heard unless he puts his nefesh, his soul, in his kapoy. Now, normally we understand the word kapoy means in his hand. You put your soul in your hand. I'm not sure what that means, actually. That's what I always understood it. But here, Rav Chaim Voloshin explains differently. What is the word kapoy? Comes the word kippah. Kippah is a dome. A kippah is a dome, right? You have a dome of a building with a big dome. That's called a kippah, right? Like the dome on your head, like the yarmulke on your head, is also called a kippah. So therefore, he should put his soul in the kippah, in the dome, in the highest of places. That is to elevate and to cleave with his prayer, his soul to the highest of places, the kipre perush, and now I explain something more, that kipre actually means the root. Miloshen, and this is a pasuk in Iyov, kiposel le'renano. Right? His kipre means the root of the person. The root of the person is from the highest of sources. Our soul does start right from under the throne of glory. That is the person's highest part. It's part of our unconscious, because Hashem doesn't let us access our unconscious, so otherwise we wouldn't have free choice. But it's part of our unconscious, which comes from the very highest of worlds, and that's kiposa, and therefore he should be, so to speak, sending his whole, his prayers, etc., to his root, to his source. Peg Tesvov, chapter 15. Fumashe kosu b'chol nafshechem. Now, what the pasuk says, b'chol nafshechem, we should serve Hashem b'chol nafshechem. So the word b'chol, which means normally all, b'chol nafshechem, yadua plugs razal, there's a machloikas as to what that means. The kama duchti b'shas, in a number of places in shas. L'chad manda o matevis kol perusha kule. Right, one says that kol means all of it, literally, right? Kol nafshechem, with your entire soul. The kol means all of yourself, all your soul. Well, l'chad manda o, however, another manda o says, miktsas the kol shu, some of your soul. Kol nafshecha means a kol shu, something of it. A kol shu is a something of your soul. Right? The kainu ha'inin kan shnei mamitim, and both of them are correct. Both explanations have validity. Both explanations are correct. Ki kama b'chinas u'madregas yesh b'zeh. There are a number of levels when it comes to davening, and this is something that's practical as well. There are a number of levels when it comes to davening. Kol odem lefi koyach taris libo imachshavto. Each person according to the power of the purity of his thoughts, of his heart and his thoughts. How much, in other words, when you do come into davening, how much of the outside world and how much of your outside business do you schlep into your davening with you? What sort of thoughts are going through your mind? How pure are your thoughts at the time of davening? So each person, wherever he's coming from, each person with his own pekala, with his own burden of thoughts, you know, the thoughts that we bring into us, into our davening, we sort of make it a bit murky, which will just take away some of the clarity. So therefore, that creates numbers of levels. Each person's on a different level. Each person has a different purity of thought. And also for each individual, it creates different times. Because sometimes, maybe sometimes in the morning, for instance, in the morning, our thoughts are clearer. Our thoughts are clearer. After a night's rest, our thoughts are clear. We can daven with more intent. Sometimes the mincha is considered the most difficult prayer. Because mincha comes in the middle of the day when you're the most occupied. You're leaving all your business. You've been running around the whole day. And now you're leaving everything and you're coming to daven. Mincha is considered the hardest prayer. And that's why the Gemara says you get the highest reward for mincha. We know that Eliyahu Navi was answered specifically when he davened mincha, because since it's the hardest time to pray, because you're the most distracted, so therefore if you put extra effort into mincha, that becomes a more powerful prayer. Everything depends on the effort. Ultimately, we earn our points. Ultimately, our growth is for how much effort we put into our prayer. But let's just see what he says here. Kol odem lefi koyach taris libo machshav tusha odem shekoyche yofi. Person who has a good power, you know, he's got a good power in his prayer, the taris machshav, in terms of purifying his thoughts and his intentions, akavona, yuchal ledavek es kol nafshei. So for him, he is able to give his entire soul. Person whose thoughts are very, very clear and pure, he gives his entire thoughts, all of his thoughts, his whole nefesh, his whole life force, he sends up in his prayer, because he has this clarity. He's able to give it all. Migoidl ahavo v'atshuka lo yizbog shmoy. His greatness with the greatness of his love and his longing for Hashem, he's got that clarity, so he can focus on Hashem. He can focus on the fact that he loves Hashem, that he wants to give to Hashem. He's longing for Hashem. He wants to be close to Hashem. V'kol echod lefi koicha, every individual according to his strength. V'gam lefi inyan hachonis ataris liboy as. And also, it would depend on the amount of preparation before the prayer. Your preparation can help you to have clearer thoughts. Higam loy kol or itim shavas. We know that not all times are equal, like we mentioned before. Be'odam betaz machshava. Not all times are equal in terms of how much clarity you have. Rak zeis roi v'nochin. It's just that it's correct. Shall call upon him at least. And here comes the second pshat. So the first pshat we said to give your entire soul to Hashem in your prayer. And that's the ideal. And then at least, here comes the second pshat. Shall call upon him, at least at least his intention in coming to daven should be a right intention. It should be a pleasing intention. I'm coming to daven because I'm coming to serve Hashem. I'm here to serve Hashem. That's why you walk into shul. The dabek lo yisbog avosav tarosa, that I want to cleave to Hashem. I want to show my love for Hashem. I want to give myself to Hashem. Miktas nafsho, at least partially. So therefore, if you can't give your entire self, so give the kol shuv, b'kol nafshechem, b'kol shuv of nafshechem. At least the intention in coming to daven should be the right intention. I want to become close to Hashem. I want to serve Hashem. At least give some of your thoughts to Hashem as much as you can. B'chein omar kosu b'kol nafshechem, with your souls. As much as you can, and if you can't, with something of your soul. Some of your soul must come into the davening. To come into davening without any intention, just I want to get it over with, I want to say the words and get out and go get moving, because I've got lots to do today, that would be a loss. But at least there should be some intention, that's b'chol shu, at least some of the soul should go through in your prayer. If not the entire soul, some of your soul has to go through. As we said before, it has both meanings. Each one according to the person's strength and his level and his preparation. And just in terms of preparation, the next sentence explains, the real preparation is his conduct through the day, in terms of learning Torah, in terms of performing mitzvahs. That's the real preparation. When one is involved in learning, when one is involved in fulfilling mitzvahs, that is the ideal preparation. And he brings a note at the bottom that the Shlo writes that one of the ways to prepare is with Torah. Torah gives you a clarity, especially if you put your whole mind into Torah and you're sort of working out Torah concepts, that's actually... It gets your mind working, right? Your mind is working. You get it operating in the right way, in the right train of thought, right? You're focusing on Torah ideas, so that also has a purifying effect that a person is able to reach. Let's just do one more paragraph. Madregas Chana Haisan, the level of Chana was that she is considered the ultimate example of full prayer. So the level of Chana was Shoshavcha v'tfilos elafan v'zvach kol nafsho. She poured in her prayer her entire self, her entire soul. Lechein Amren, that's what she said. Eshpoches nafshi, I pour out my soul. You can think of it like mamish pouring out. You got a glass of milk, you pour out the whole glass of milk. So to speak, she poured out her soul. V'shvichas perusha legamre. She poured out means in totality, completely. Ki yadur b'shas. V'hainu shelo nisha la shum rotzen inyane oilam hazeh. That she left no other desire. She wasn't desiring something else. Right? Her desire was for Hashem. Wasn't her desire for Hashem and something else. She also desires whatever, something else. Her entire desire was for Hashem. Ki nefesh, and here we come with another explanation of the word nefesh. We've explained so far nefesh means life force. We've said nefesh is prayer. We've said nefesh is word. And here comes another explanation which all ties together. Because the nefesh, ki nefesh perushay rotzen. Because nefesh is desire. Right? What do you desire? Your nefesh is called your rotzen. It's like the pasuk says in Shmuel, "Ma toima nafshecho eselok." What is your soul desire? What is it that you want? And I will do for you. That's a pasuk. So, "Ma nafshecho." What's your desire? So that's another explanation. Nefesh means your desire, that your true desire. You pour out your desire to Hashem. So nefesh also represents life force, but it's the person's desire, which is his prayer, which is his words. That is his desire. Rotzen aklali kosher bechlal ha nefesh, and desire is very much a part of nefesh.